One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the uncensored match build-up. It's Liverpool, it's Norwich, it's Anfield, it's 3 o'clock, it's Saturday. I am delighted to say I'm joined by Evo and by Ian to discuss what's going to happen in this big Premier League game for the Reds. We have literally just recorded the final word, Joe, about the Inter Milan game. If you want to go and check that out, do go on, head on over to Red Men Plus. But we are about to chat about this big Norwich game. If you are watching this live now on Twitter, if you click the link in the tweet, come on over to YouTube, come and join us, get in the live chat and get involved. Right then, Evo, I'll come to you straight away. There's a danger of this game becoming after the Lord Mayor's show. You know, you go to the San Siro and you win. There's a final on the horizon a week away, just over. There's another game against Leeds in the midweek. Like, the fact that there's no room for slip-ups in the Premier League makes it, this just has to be a must-win for Liverpool by hook or by crook. Like, there can be no foot off the gas, no easing up, whatever team goes out. There's no alternative. This just has to be 3 points.
Yeah, defo. Like, Norwich is so shy right now. They're conceding a lot of goals, and we have to beat them in order to be that Liverpool that we want to see, and that Liverpool and all the Liverpool players expect them to themselves to be. They need to win this game. They need to win this game with confidence and confidently with a couple of goals. I think we're gonna better them. I hope so. So no excuses. Like, even if we had the San Siro midweek game, go there, Anfield home game. Let's go.
No room for complacency is the word. You know, like, we all speak about Norwich and their record and what they've been through recently. They had a little bit of an upturn, but then Man City go and spanked them a little bit as well. But, like, Saturday 3 o'clock against a team, the fans need to be up for it, the players need to be up for it. Like, there's just no room for complacency. There can't be, because there's no room for error. When you look at Liverpool's season, if Liverpool are going to win the league, and if you go through the list of 3 points there, 3 points there, 3 points there, pretty much every home game should be that, but especially against Norwich City, like, we have to beat them.
We're talking about complacency now. We can't be, and I'm going to probably throw that up in the air now, because I'm going to say I think Klopp will make a few changes on Saturday, because I think the likes of Luis Diaz will start. I think we might actually see Divi, because we're playing Leeds on the Wednesday. I think Norwich are probably the weaker of the two, so I think you may see more changes on Saturday compared to the Wednesday, even though it's closer to a cup final.
But that's not complacency. That whoever comes in,
it's managing your squad.
Also, the players who come in will be hungry and stuff. Like, they can't. But what I'm saying is, like, there can be no looking past Norwich.
No.
Like, and I don't think Jürgen will allow that. But I still think, as much as Jürgen says next game, there has been times, I think, in the past that Liverpool have just been a little bit caught cold or whatever. Like, it can't happen here.
No, it can't, and I don't think it will. I think the depth of squad now that we keep talking about is going to come into fruition here now. We're going to see that depth of squad, because we are going to see a bit of rotation this week, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've expected it the previous 2 weeks, but I think this is where it actually comes in now, when you've got a cup final in, what, 10 days' time, and you've got two games before that, that's where you're going to start seeing the management of the squad. And I think you'll see the likes of, like I said, I think you'll see Luis Diaz will get a start, maybe two. You might even see Big Divi. You might even get a fleeting appearance from Joe Gomez at some point. It's going to be an interesting time. But as far as the Norwich game go, it's got to be a must-win. I know Burnley are bottom of the league, but that's probably because they've had like 100 games postponed. There's no doubt for me who the worst team in the league are. It's Norwich.
So fingers crossed there. Like I say, we have no complacency, but yeah, Liverpool should be winning this one. Right then, Ian touched upon it there, but team news, rotation, selection issues. We're going to talk about all that very, very shortly after this break. Got a quick word from Ultimate Fan before we go there. Got a trivia question to keep you tied over. If you're in the Club Legend Discord chat, let us know your answers. Let us know in the live chat on YouTube as well. And I'll ask you guys, so who is the last player who transferred directly from Liverpool to Norwich City? So who is the last player who transferred directly from Liverpool to Norwich City? Again, live chat, Discord, let us know, and we'll be back after this quick break.
Hey everyone, Mate here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo, Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com, sign up and join us on Redmen Plus.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, so welcome back again. If you're involved with Ultimate Fan, do get involved this week. I'm sure you're enjoying it. Make sure you join the Red Men League as well and try and pit your wits against Ross, Chris, Paul and all the lads and girls who are involved there. Right then, before the break, I said that the trivia question was, who was the last player who transferred directly from Liverpool to Norwich City? In the live chat, I had a few of you guys, so I had Ryan and Jen, both had Ozan Kabak. Well, technically, no. Ozan Kabak was never officially a Liverpool player. He transferred to from Schalke on loan, and then from Schalke to Norwich. It wasn't him. So, guys, any guesses from you two? There's a couple in the chat, in the live chat, who've got right, actually.
I'll, like, okay, Ozzy Kabak would have been my answer, but no.
I couldn't think of anyone.
Let's try and give you some hints. He moved to Norwich in 2016. Mm. He is currently a Premier League player, but not for Norwich. No, okay, you aren't going to get that one. So shout out in the chat to Josh Hunter, who I think was the first to get it right.
Respect.
The answer is Sergi Canos. Sergi Canos in 2016.
Brentford.
Yeah, and he's currently playing at Brentford. So yeah, you go. Yeah, the last player was Sergi Canos. Currently doing bits at Brentford.
What a fucking star.
I mean, I think he played one game for us. It might come on as a sub in the last game of the season, but technically he wasn't a player. Tough trivia question because, I'll be honest, every trivia question I thought of this morning was just Luis Suarez related. Because Luis Suarez just owns Norwich, and I thought it's going to be a bit boring if I go for that one. But yeah, I went a bit more difficult.
There was one for the chat, so.
Done to Josh, who was the first one to get right. I'll have a little check if anyone else get it. I don't think anyone else. Actually, the Melonator, great name, says Canos or Pacheco. He went for two. You got right there. You were right, technically, but if you guess twice, I don't know about that one. But yeah, there we are then. Right, before we start get to talking, guys, about the Norwich game, just to give everyone at home watching or listening a little heads up about the upcoming content on our subscription service, Red Men Plus. It's essentially like Netflix, but for Liverpool fans. It's Wembley week next week, and we've got tons out already and tons to come. So we've got our interview with Stuart Downing, conversation with who was obviously man of the match in the 2012 final. We've got releasing on Friday afternoon / evening part one of our Silverware Stories. It's a documentary about the 2001 League Cup final with the likes of Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher, Emil Heskey, Sander Vestal, Marcus Babbel, all of whom were involved in that game. Dropping on Monday as a five-part podcast series highlighting each of Liverpool's League Cup wins. So those, the four that we won in a row in the 80s, you got 95, 01, 03, and of course 2012, with the journalists who covered them at the time, talking about how the season felt, how the city was, how the culture was. We've got Tony Evans, we've got John Keith, we've got Chris Bascom, and we've got James Pearce as well. And obviously, because it's Wembley, we will also have a special debate show featuring on the League Cup. We'll have the opposition preview. On the day, we'll have the watch. I've got tons and tons coming up for Wembley week. So make sure you get involved with Redmen Plus. Just head on over to redmentv.com and sign up. You won't regret it. Ian, you're one of our subscribers, I'm sure. You don't regret it.
I don't at all, no.
So yeah, get yourselves involved. Right then, let's get back to this Norwich game. We brought this up before, Evo. Is this a game where Liverpool can, will and should rotate heavily? We did make four changes from Burnley to Inter because we've got Norwich, we've got Leeds, we've got the cup final. Lads have played a lot of minutes already. We've got a big squad. We've referenced that. It feels like we made four changes from the Burnley team to Inter. This feels like one where you could make five, six, seven changes from the Inter team to Norwich. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, maybe. It's an interesting discussion because, like, we will see how well our staff knows these players, like in terms of conditions and like their health right now, because like some players need breaks just to sit out, to be out of the squad, sit on the bench and be subbed in or don't play at all. Other players, like they need to be in rhythm and they need to play games. So obviously our coaching staff knows the squad, but it will be interesting to see how they judge different players. I think it's not Norwich and it's a bad team, so it really the opportunity presents itself that we just make a lot of changes.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, just I owe an apology there to David Woodward, who was the first to get the canvas. I missed that in the chat, but you're right, just above Josh's comment was David. So shout out to you, David, you got that right as well. That was my bad. He's just messaging me saying I was thirsty. He was my name. I've got you covered. That was my bad for missing that in the chat. And also a shout out to First Teamer G, who has just joined us as a YouTube member. Thanks very much, mate. I hope you enjoy being one of our members over there on the YouTube channel. Get tons and tons of great benefits, including the emojis. They're probably my favourite. Enjoy using them. You're right to reference that there, Evo, about the changes, and that's Norwich, and we've got lots of games and stuff. There's always a game in where he has to give Trent a rest at some point. He does. He always does. Last year, it was a couple of times he just threw Neco in. Neco's no longer here. A, do you see this being a game where he gives Trent a rest because then he plays him against Leeds and plays him against Chelsea? And B, if so, is it Milner? Is it Gomez? What are you thinking at right back for this one? Or are you just going to play Trent? Do you think he just goes Trent again?
I think Trent will play Saturday.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll play against Leeds. I think he'd rather not play in the game before the cup final because I think he'll play the cup final. And I think Milner might go in there because I think we've got that many options in midfield now. I don't think there's a need to play Joe Gomez there. I think if he wants to bring Joe Gomez in, and we've talked about how he is confidence-wise at the moment, it takes a couple of games to go in. The last thing you want to do with Joe Gomez, in case you need to use him, is throw him in at right back. Yeah. I think you need to bring him in and have him play him in his favourite position. I'm not saying I'm right, but I think the best thing to do for Joe Gomez is, if he's going to get a game over the next week, playing with a centre-half and possibly playing with Van Dijk as well. So I think he'll go with Milner on against Leeds.
What do you think? My sense is here, I think this is the game for Milner. I think he plays Milner here, yeah, and then he has Trent for Leeds and against Chelsea if he can. That's my general sense. I agree. I think it's Milner more than Gomez, and I think that's right. I don't think it'd be really harsh on Joe Gomez to throw him back in and then go and do a job at right back. I think this is the game that he does give the Trent rest. Do you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's an interesting discussion. If you give a player when you have three games and the last one is important because it's a cup final, do you give him the first one off or the one in the middle, the second one? Like, it's a rhythm thing, but like they play in a lot of games and it's just 1 week, a few 5-6 days in between. So I think Trent's going to be rested. I agree with you. At one game or another, like against Norwich or Leeds, and I I'm totally fine. Like, we talked about, like, it was a bit of a James Milner week so far. Like, we talked like last week, this week, a lot about him and about the contract situation. I'm totally fine with starting him at the right back position. Like, it's against Norwich. It's different to other games against mid table teams, because they are bad right now, and like, I think James Milner would be okay to start in the right back position.
At time recording, we don't know how severe the Diogo Jota injury is. He had the ankle injury. He went off against Inter, like we know, swollen ankle. Jürgen mentioned the word ligaments, which always terrifies us. Jota's had ankle issues before. We know that as well. The fact is, he's not going to play the weekend. They're not going to risk him at all. I was thinking, because we don't know how severe the injury is, and because we've got Leeds and the cup final, this could be your Divock or your Tacky game. So it's all well and good saying, yeah, we've got all these options, but you can't play Diaz, Bobby, Mane and Salah. I mean, you could just rotate the three around and mix it about, or you could save the legs of two of those from the start and just go to Divock. By the way, he played against Norwich. Tacky scored against them in the League Cup earlier this season at their gaff as well. You could say to one of those, right, we'll give you the start and save the minutes with the guys. Those two are more than capable, by the way, of scoring against Norwich City. Yeah. No one in the league has let more goals in than Norwich. They have 50 goals in a time as of now. No one scored fewer, by the way, as well as 14. As then you met. So, is this a game where he might just go, here's my Divock game or here's my Tacky game?
See, the difference is with this is when we go into a League Cup game and we play these types of play, we tend to use Salah and Mane on the bench, as in the case of not wanting to use them. But when it's in a Premier League game and you've got that deeper squad, you can use them on the bench in case you need them. There's more likely a chance that you're going to bring them on. So I think he might go on Saturday with Tacky and Divock Origi, with possibly Luis Diaz as well. I think that...
rest Salah and Mane.
I think, like I said, you can put them both on the bench if you need them at any point, bring them on. I mean, like I said before, I think they're both suffering from a slight AFCON hangover anyway. So I think get them rested, and then I think the Leeds game anyway, I think the way Leeds play... is
high intensity.
I think we're going to need Mane and Salah for them more so than Norwich. I definitely think we'll see Minamino and Origi at the week. I think we're going to see them over the next 10 days. I think it'll be that game rather than the Leeds game.
I tend to agree. Maybe it's one of them with Mane. I think with Salah, with Mane, with Diaz, they're all there. Like, my general sense, again, Evo, don't want to step on your toes. I think Diaz will start this one. I've got a sense Diaz is going to, which makes you very, very happy. Anyone who's watched the final words, Joe. Evo had the moment when we started talking about Luis Diaz.
It's like all cartoon birds flying around.
The big love eyes.
I'm so excited about him.
Do you think he gets the start against Norwich?
Yes. I think so. It's a perfect handling of his situation right now. But because I were a bit disappointed that he doesn't get any minutes against Burnley, but after it, I were really okay. That's clever. That's really good, because like getting in the Leicester game as his first one, his first proper game, and then having to go to Burnley, that's a big difference from going to Anfield to Turf Moor. So I liked it that he doesn't play in this one. I liked the way that he came on against Inter Milan. And it's a perfect preparation up to this point on Saturday, and I want him to start in this. And it's like if you want a creative midfielder attacker coming in, you would love this situation to play him against a lower league team, lower table team, yeah. And like he will create some damage on the wing and in the middle of the park.
A chat here from Henry says, I think you guys are off on this one. There'll be rotation, but not so much resting. We need to catch City in order. I think the point is, Harry, is that Liverpool actually aren't significantly weakening themselves. Rotation used to mean dogging out some dog players. Like Liverpool could play an entirely different 11 than they played in the San Siro, and it could be an amazing team that's good enough to beat Norwich. So I don't think it's a case of complacency. And I think what we're tending to say is like, there'll be a mismatch of teams, so like it won't be the League Cup team that played Norwich in the League Cup, but it might not be what Jürgen's best 11 is. I think we're kind of in the middle. But what a rotation means, Ian, who doesn't start in the San Siro, Henderson, Firmino, Keita, Diaz, Milner, Chamberlain. There was an issue with Chamberlain in the warm down.
Could all start.
all feasible. Origi's there, Minamino's there, Matip's there, Milner, again, we referenced it, our fullback, Shimakas is there. When you're talking about the rotational options, you are not downgrading Liverpool to a League Cup side. You're downgrading Liverpool's second 11, should be able to beat Norwich's best 11. So if you intertwine the two, what you're saying is, you're resting legs, they've had a heavy week, that Burnley game was a dog of a game, then they've had to go and run around the San Siro, then they've got Norwich, then they've got Leeds, then they've got a final, then they've got Norwich again. You've got to look after the legs, you can't just flog these lads into the ground. So I think what we're saying to Henry's point is, like, changes isn't disrespecting Norwich, it's more of a praise of Liverpool.
If you were to talk about the players you talked about, in Minamino, Divock, Tsimikas, players like that, and you asked me the question, would any of those start for Norwich? Yeah. Every single one of them.
Norwich's best player.
Yeah, every single one of them would start for Norwich. I think most of our second string now, compared to a few years ago, would get in most teams below the top five, top six. I think they'd start for most of them. That's how good our rotation is now. We aren't significantly weakening ourselves. It's called managing the squad, which when you're in four competitions, you have to do. This is the great thing about being in four competitions now. You can keep players happy. They can get games that they wouldn't normally get if we were only fighting on the league front and we were only fighting on two fronts. This is how you manage a squad, and this is how Man City have managed to keep their players happy for so long.
By playing so many games.
And this is something that it's fairly new to us, because we tend to go out to the English Cups quite early. So, listen, we've got a squad there. Let's use it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I do tend to agree. Going over to the Discord chat then. So, Jif reckons I'd start this team. Ali, Milner, Matip, Virgil, Robbo, Hendo, Thiago, Keita, Salah, Diaz, Bobby. So, Jif's probably one or two maybe stronger than we thought. And then CZ Red, if you bring that back up for us, Joe, he's just got a picture. He says he picked this team that Chris used on the Start of 11 show. At some point, Pajak started volleying all those players. I know the game's finished now, but if you do want to go back to the Team News reaction show ahead of the ahead of the Inter Milan game, and Chris Pajak just turns into Bobby Firmino and starts volleying lads. He actually gets his leg up to that Shimakas picture, which you can't tell how high that is. It's really, really high. So fair play to Pajak. That is about 7 foot in the air, so good job. Paul will be on the Starting 11 prediction show later on the YouTube channel, and I will be around for the watch along of the weekend for the Team News React show. I am not going to be kicking players that high. I will die. Fair play to Chris, who's older than me, but my God, he's obviously a bit more flexible. There's Peter, you know, he laid down the marker, and I will bow down graciously and say no. I'll back out from that one. I am not doing that for Pajak. Let's touch on Norwich. Then we referenced before then about their stats, either, like, they are not bottom, they're 17th, but the two teams behind them have got games in hand. Burnley have got three games in hand on them. They've conceded more, like I say, 50. They've scored fewer, 14. But a lot of that was under Daniel Farke. Under Dean Smith, they've shown signs of life. They had a win streak, didn't they, where they won three on the bounce, league and cup. They played okay against City. They were in the game for a while, but City just in the end ran away with it. But, like, as much as we're talking about all these changes, like, Norwich, they're fighting for their lives. It's a free hit for them. Go to Anfield and just see what you can get. If you get a draw, they are just, you know, celebration time for Norwich. So you have to be careful. You can respect them in a way of, you know, we're not just taking our foot off the ass. We're going to play a proper game against you. But on the flip side, again, it's a game Liverpool really should be winning.
Yeah, and like in every season, there has to be like this one team that is just like a little bit worse than the rest of the league.
And as you're speaking, I'll bring up the league table just to emphasise. By the way, just going, you carry on. But yeah, those watching at home, you'll see there how the league table looks currently.
Yeah, like they are a little bit more stable since they turned around this thing with Farke and Smith now, so new manager. They impressed me in their first half against City, so everything I read about was really okay. And of course, it's like Liverpool and City, these are not the games they have to win. Like, you don't calculate 3 points in for these games, but we go out there and we respect them and we just play our game. And the one thing that is dangerous, even if we are at home, if you go to their level, if you get somewhere a little bit too much distracted, I don't know how and why, but things could go wrong on every match day, like early red cards, early injury stuff, all the things. Like, just play a really professional football, and I think we're going to be able to beat Norwich easily.
Yeah, again, it's one of those, Ian, isn't it? Like, if Liverpool play at 8 out of 10, they'll bat Norwich. If they play at 6 out of 10, they'll probably beat Norwich. But if they get dragged down into a 4 and 5 out of 10, Norwich have shown they've got Pukki and Sarge has scored a couple of goals. They're not great. They're probably a championship slash lower level Premier League players at best, which is why where they are. But if you get dragged down to their level, they can give you that little sucker punch. Like, they hit the post against City, didn't they, as well? Like, they have got something there that's clearly fighting for this manager. They're not as open as Daniel Farke's team, which was, you could drive a bus with Daniel Farke's team. So, like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, again, don't if you be professional, and if it's 2-0 and he's saving legs, fine. If you can go, you don't have to match Man City for goals. You have to match Man City for points.
Yeah.
Like, we're probably never, if it goes down to goal difference, we're probably never going to win that fight. But we need to be professional, be on it. And like I say, if everyone's a 7, Liverpool will score 3 or 4 anyway.
I think the big important thing for us is getting an early goal. I think starting on the front foot. And I think Luis Diaz will do that. Because I think once you give him the ball, he'll just run towards goal. I think he'll do that for a full 90 minutes if you let him. I think our nerves will set in after the first 20 minutes if we don't get a goal. Because of the team that will probably be out. Because I hate using the word weakened, but it'll be a lesser team than what we played on Wednesday last night. So if we have got a different team out and we don't score after the first 20 minutes, Anfield, you can feel the nerves round about Anfield. So a nice early goal will probably stop that. We just need to play on the front foot, which I fully expect Liverpool to do. We'll be playing with players who will have something to prove, who might still think that there's a cup final place to play for. Because let's be honest, that I don't think that 11's been chosen yet. I think that's still to play for. So get in there, give a 10 out of 10 performance and get yourself into the cup final team.
Yeah, listen, if you're attacking Minamino, you're even get on the bench. Like, it's hard to get on the bench at the moment. So, you know what I mean? Like, Divock hasn't been on the bench in the Premier League for a while. Like, yeah, whoever comes in, not only, like I said, there's a final to play for. Who knows what happens between Norwich Leeds and then? Like, the injuries happen. You've got to just be on it, get yourself in the mix. And like I say, I think we could all probably name the 11 he wants to play against Chelsea, give or take maybe one or two positions. It's whether Jota's fit, and if he's not, it's Bobby anyway, probably more than likely. There's probably one space in the midfield up for grabs, perhaps. But, like I say, Joss is injured now. I know someone else could get injured. Whoever's the next man up, Evo, here's a chance for you to go, right, I understand if he picks his best 11, I might not be in it. But one knock, one suspension, one whatever, I want to be the guy. Let me go and bat an origin and just remind the manager, I'm here too.
Definitely. And I talked to Paul on this the last week when we were on the debate show. Like, we had this little point that finals are always different. Like, the finals are not normal, usual common games. Like, they can go different ways and you need impact from the bench, so it's important to get into the squad. And like, we had that example where it was only for the Champions League in the last Premier League game, but Curtis Jones was not in the squad, and he was one of our starters in the last month, early 2022. So like, nobody is secure to have a have a place in the squad is maybe a little bit too harsh, because there are just plays.
Virgil, Salah, Fabinho. But
go on. But like, for all these like B1 players, B1B players, mm-hmm. how you're gonna say it, doesn't matter. But like, for all these players, it's important to get their head into the ring, to that they are the first, second, or third sub in the League Cup final.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a final to be played. And right then, we're going to take a quick break and then come afterwards, and we'll be looking at the other Premier League fixtures and what's going on. Often when I'm on the YouTube channel, I'll be honest, I get a lot of messages, and it's always, where's Pajak? Well, yeah, we have to rotate here at Red Men TV as well. But for all you people asking, where's Pajak? Here's a little message from the man himself.
The League Cup final is nearly upon us. We're excited, you're excited, and we've got some incredible content upcoming on our streaming service, Red Men Plus. We've got an exclusive In Conversation with the League Cup 2012 Man of the Match, Stuart Downing, talking through his memories of that day. We've got an incredible silverware stories featuring the likes of Sander Vesterveld, Emil Heskey, Darren Pearce of Birmingham, amongst others, looking back at that 2 2001 League Cup victory, as well as an incredible podcast series with the men who lived and covered each and every one of Liverpool's record-breaking 8 League Cups so far. This is how you get excited for the League Cup. This is how you build up to a final, and it's only available on Redmen Plus. www.theredmentv.com. Get yourself signed up and get this content. It's incredible.
Yeah, so there you have it. There's the legend that is Chris Page. I'm telling you all about the amazing content we've got coming up on our subscription service, Redmen Plus, for Wembley Week. Make sure you get involved. Again, if you get involved as a club captain, that will get you access to every bit of content we produce over on Redmen Plus and the entire back catalogue as well, including the Hendo documentary, the Murals Guide, the Craftsman of the Cop documentary, all the interviews we've got there as well, top 50 Liverpool players, the Premier League era. You will get all that as a club captain. If you go as a club legend on the club legend tier, not only will you get all that content as well, you'll also get the added perks. You'll get access to the Discord chat that we've been referencing before. You get free Redmen merchandise, some of that which are like similar to what Evo's wearing. We've got the 20% off merch as well. We've got free tickets to our live events, which we are in planning for now. The world is finally starting to open back up and we can start hosting live events again. You get access to our monthly competition as well. This month's prize is a signed shirt by Ronnie Whelan and Steve McMahon. And I'll give you guys a little spoiler alert now. Coming up in March, I think it's another signed shirt by more an ex-Liverpool manager and an ex-Liverpool European Cup winner as well. So yeah, make sure you get yourselves involved with Redmen Plus. I promise you, you won't regret it.
Content heaven.
It is literally content heaven. I give you all shouts, by the way, and we'll go to the live chat. I give you your pay, Jack, and then I get messages. Where's Mate and where's Errol? What's wrong with me? Come on, what's wrong with me? Anyway, let you know, Mate will be back later. If you watch the Starting 11 prediction show for the Norwich game, that's scheduled to be Paul doing that one for you. Errol will be back for the watch along on Saturday as well with me. We'll be in the studio for that one. So if there's anyone else you want to ask about, feel free to ask for you. That's pretty much where we are. If you ask where Ross is, Ross has got COVID. He's today's his first negative test. So if he gets another one, he can come out from being locked in his house.
Let's go, Chandler.
Yeah, so there's everyone. There's a status update on the whole crew. If there's anyone else you want to know about, then let me know. LTMLFT, where's Aubrey? Aubrey's down in London making movies and doing what he does. So yeah, there's a sit rep on the Redmen squad. Anyway, Let's look at the weekend's fixtures then, Ian, because for the first time, there might be a game that our biggest rivals potentially could slip up, and we'll get that in a second, but I'll bring these up on the screen for us now. We've obviously got West Ham versus Newcastle at 12:30, which is a good game at both ends of the table for the top four and the relegation battle. Arsenal against Brentford. We've got Brighton against Burnley. If ever a goal is going to be 1-0 or 0-0, that's probably that one, any game. There's our game, obviously, with Norwich, 3 o'clock. Southampton against Tory Everton, Frankie Lampard's Everton there as well. That should be an interesting game. Stevie G's Villa hosting Watford. Again, another big game at the bottom of the table. Chelsea Palace is an interesting one for those. That's a game where you could see going either way. But I think the big one that we're all going to have half an eye on, Evo, to be honest, as our game finishes, hopefully with 3 points, is Tottenham against Manchester City at 5:30 on Saturday. Spurs have caused City problems a lot in recent seasons. Yeah. Spurs are in terrible form right now. But if there's ever a game that we might be thinking, come on, maybe even a draw, can they get something? Maybe it's Spurs, could maybe do us a favour.
Yeah, like at least a draw would be good. Just drop points here and there, like Man City, that would be good. And I think it's really interesting that you say that they have that they caused some problems to Man City, because it's interesting. You see this like in football, you see that in American football too. Like there are certain teams and players and managers and like attacking systems or playing styles that cause problems like constantly over the years. And like I think was it the first game of the season where Tottenham beat Man City 1-0?
Yep.
So it would be really good. I'm hoping for a big reaction from Tottenham, because they were shite against the Wolves.
We shot against everyone. They have three in a row now, aren't they?
Yeah. They've lost three in a row, haven't they? But you've got to come out of that form at some point, and for us, this weekend will be the perfect time for them to come
perfect
out of it.
Perfect timing,
just bringing up here on the screen, Joe, if you can, avoid all the horrendous adverts on this website, but this is Tottenham, this is Man City's results against Tottenham. So they lost, like you referenced before, Evo, 1-0 at the beginning of the season. They beat them in the League Cup, they beat them in February in the League 3-0, but before that, 2-0 losses and a draw as well. So essentially in 5 Premier League games against Spurs, their last five, City have only won one, Ian. So sometimes there's just that team, and for whatever reason, whether it's Son's caused them issues or Kane, whoever it is, maybe Harry's got a point to prove against the team he wants to go and join. Like, there aren't many games I think there's a sniff, and my de facto position on this is always, I always presume City are going to win and be surprised if they're not. But even I'm thinking, I could do, you know, Conte never, when's the last time Conte lost four consecutive league games? He's surely got something up his sleeve. There's players who can hurt him. This could be one. If Liverpool can beat Norwich, sit back R5 and just go, come on, Spurs.
I generally these days, if I've got a City game on, we'll just go the first goal, we'll turn it off, it's just pointless carrying on. But I think the way City play, they're not as tight as we are as the back. If you've got a team that can run into spaces, which Spurs have with Son and players like that, you can create chances against Manchester City. I think that's why we tend to do so well against them, because that's the way we play as well. So I think that's part of the reason Spurs can get a result from there, because City are that much concentrating on keeping hold of the ball and creating stuff down the other end that they do leave spaces open. The problem is, and the reason they win so many games, is I find that a lot of teams just see as a free hit and go in there, and I hate using the phrase, but a lot of people lie down for Man City and when they done for us. I think that is where Spurs won't. Spurs will go then, and Spurs will go thinking, listen, we've got results there before. We've got a top class manager here now. Conte is going to want to prove something. Harry Kane still wants his move there, so he's got something to prove. And I think Man City is the type of team Son likes to play against. So I think it could definitely, it's one that we should be looking at thinking, maybe.
I'm looking at Spurs as a result here recently then, Evo. Like I say, to be fair, they did win in the cup, by the way, so we can reference that. But that Wolves game, they were abysmal. They were absolutely awful against Wolves. Southampton was a strange game, that 3-2, where they were 2-1 up, weren't they, for a while, and then get back. They beat Brighton in the cup. Before that, Chelsea beat them, which, again, that's not the end. Again, Chelsea, the world, game, whatever. The Leicester game, where they come back in injury time and scored two goals. So they have got goals in them. Son's got a record against them. Like, are we clutching our straws, or can you envisage anything from this one?
Yeah, it's so difficult because, like,
you're hoping for a reaction from Wolves, and they can't be that bad again. Conte surely has been doing something to go, we cannot do that again. That was dreadful.
That was rock bottom. Like, that was like really like the low light. I don't know of their season. I'm not that much into them, but like, what
they were shit.
They were really, really bad, and I hope for a reaction. Like, I can't even watch Man City games anymore. Like, I don't turn them on. Like, I go into all these applications on the phone, like going in there like 20 minutes and half time and looking and thinking, oh, maybe it's still a draw. Maybe the other team's good. Okay, 3-0 up. Okay,
it's Roy Hodgson gif, isn't it?
Don't give me hope.
Definitely.
Like, that is the one thing I hope for, that there is a reaction from Spurs after that horrendous weeks and like the low light against Wolves. And sometimes that could give your team confidence too, that you have a good record against Man City, and it's a big game, so like, big players make big moves and play really good in the big games. So maybe old Harry and Son have some good games.
Fingers crossed for that one, yeah. And then Leeds United versus Manchester United on Sunday will be an interesting game. I imagine Ellen Rowe will be absolutely bouncing for that one.
Three red cards, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a feisty encounter between those two sides. And then rounding off the weekend then, Wolves host Leicester City. Wolves are very much in the Champions League race. Leicester pretty much aren't at the moment. And Brendan's in desperate need of a win. But yeah, we'll see how that one goes. But yeah, we're all kind of fingers crossed, hoping Tottenham. Antonio, if you can find someone,
we would appreciate it.
If you can have a little plan for us, pal, just do us a little favour. If you can, even a draw. If you can beat them, fantastic. If you get a 1-1 sound as well. Let's see how that one pans out. Right, then, let's get back to Liverpool action then. looking at the game, Ian, we've mentioned the sides and we've mentioned what we do and we mentioned what we think Klopp might do and all that. But being that all being said, then how do you see the game going? We've said it should be 3 points. Are you predicting 3 points?
Yeah. I think I'll go as far as I think we'll win about 3-1. I think, depending on what defence we put out, we could go for another clean sheet. But because I'm not sure what type of mismatch defence might go out there, I'll get in Pookie might sneak one. But 3-1. If I was concerned about Norwich on Saturday in the 3 o'clock kickoff after we've just
beaten to Milan,
there's issues.
Yeah, you're right. And how could you not back us here, Evo? So I'm guessing you're going to say win as well. But score? What are you guessing? Convincing? Are you going to get your Luis Diaz goal like you're so desperate for?
I really hope. Or another assist and like a good game would be cool if he scores. I think we're going to wipe the floor with him. I hope so, because like it's not a game like Shrewsbury, for example, like where like I still think there's a different energy in it. Like we are clearly the favourites to win it.
Kids against Norwich. You're playing a proper team.
Yeah, you're still playing a proper Premier League team, and it's like I hope it's not. I really hope it's not like a sluggish game where we score one and then score another one in the 17th minute or something. That would be nice to have like a proper Man City game, like winning it 5-1, 6-1.
I suppose the benefit there will be like if you can get the game won, just don't give Norwich a sniff. They'll save their legs for another day. We can save our legs. Even if it's 3-0 at any point in the game, that's when both sides might just shake hands and go, yeah, that is what it is. We'll just take what it is. And that's what you're hoping for, because like I say, the win's important, but again, the legs is a thing now. There's a lot of football to play. We are still in all these competitions. We're the only ones who are.
Yep.
So you do have to like really, really take care of where we're at. As well, so yeah, I'm right. I know Chelsea have got a lot of games to play in the competitions as well, but yeah, they're not really. I don't think they're in the league mix at the moment in terms of winning it. They're looking to just maintain that third place, probably. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks very much. I'm very much up for this game now, Evo and Ian. Thanks very much. Thanks all you guys for tuning on YouTube, for getting involved in the live chat, for getting involved in the Discord as well. Like I mentioned earlier, it is Wembley week next week on Red Men Plus. So there has never been a better time to go and subscribe to Red Men Plus. Get all that amazing features like that Chris mentioned earlier in the clip there, with the interviews, with the podcasts, with the documentaries, and obviously with the build-up shows that come for that big game as well. But we are not taking our eyes off these other games either. We'll still have the final word and the instant match reaction for the Norwich game. We'll have the same for Leeds as well. Oppo previews for both of those games are upcoming. So yeah, honestly, for the price that you pay for, price of a pint these days, you get all that content for an entire month. So do go over there and check it out. Like I say, guys, thanks very much. Thanks for you guys. Make sure if you're watching this video on YouTube to drop it a like, and we'll be back soon with more Red Men TV goodness in your life. But until then, we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional and unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.